Well, folks, what's a crack? It's Gareth McGlynn here from the Pre-Construction Podcast. I hope you're well, and I hope you enjoyed the Easter break last weekend. You will probably have figured out that last week I took a little bit of break, so sorry if you're waiting on Monday at noon for the latest episode of the podcast. I didn't release one last week, but we are back today with a very special edition or a special episode to celebrate Advancing Pre-Construction, which, if you don't know, it's the largest gathering of pre-construction and estimating professionals in the US. And if you don't know about it, it's taking place in the Colorado Conference Center from Wednesday, May 1st until Friday, May 3rd. Now, I was in Phoenix last year for last year's conference, and I had a blast. See, networking with people, speaking with pre-con tech folks, listening to the different tracks that were put on by Hanson Wade. I thought it was really, really well run and really enjoyed it. So this year to celebrate, I have partnered with Hanson Wade and we have run a competition recently. The idea was to get people to nominate an unsung hero within pre-construction. And I have to say, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of people that were nominated. So a big thank you to everyone that nominated someone. Whether that be your peer, your friend, your colleague, your client, we had all sorts of nominations, which was great. So, like any other competition, unfortunately, there can be only one winner. And I'm delighted to let you know that the winner for a free ticket to Advancing Pre-Construction 2024 is Alex Arnold. And he is the Director of Mechanical Services with Hensel Phelps. And again, a shout out to Kyle Bond. He is his peer at Hensel Phelps, and he is the person that nominated Alex. So to celebrate, I wanted to get Alex on, talk to him about the conference, talk to him about his background, his love for pre-construction, and see if we can pick up a few nuggets from the mechanical side for our audience. Without further ado, you will hear from both our sponsors, Beck Technology and Concentric. Here's Alex.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Alex Arnold, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, it's with pleasure that I announce you as the winner of the free ticket to Advancing Pre-Construction 2024. How does it feel? I know we've been through it the last couple of days. I can see by the smile on your face that you're pleasantly surprised and pleased.
Yeah, I was pretty excited because I've been looking at trying to go to this conference for the last couple of years. And unfortunately, just based on projects and the stuff I was working on, I haven't been able to attend, but I'm super excited. And my whole entire team is excited to go to the conference.
Yeah, I hear Hensel Phelps have got a big representation, which is exactly what you need. And it was a big thank you to Kyle Bond, who's the person that nominated you as well. So shout out to Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle's my coworker. He works a couple of cubes down from me. So, you know, we're always interacting with each other. We're actually working on a small little project right now, testing out some various pre-construction softwares.
Brilliant. And we can get into that later. But that's what literally, Alex, that's what it was all about. It was all about getting the unsung heroes within pre-construction. We all know how little kind of praise that we get or little time in front of the camera that the pre-construction get. It's really important that everyone kind of appreciates each other, because it's not easy. It's not easy from the GC side, from the owner side, the sub side. So any sort of little notes like this that we can get across, the better. So while we've got you, Alex, let's dive into your background, because I like your background. It's quite diverse. Obviously, 2011, you 2007, you did architectural engineering at University of Colorado. Was it always engineering for you, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I've always been interested in engineering. When I was about 12, 13 years old, I picked up, really got into math and science. And obviously, my focus was primarily on buildings. So that's why I looked at CU Boulder, University of Colorado, as probably a good place to start. They have a pretty strong architectural engineering program.
Brilliant. And then you shifted then 2011 to building systems engineering. What was the thinking behind that one?
Yeah. So what's kind of interesting about their architectural engineering program at CU is they've got a 5-year program where you can actually get a master's in building systems. And that's through the BSP, building systems program. And my focus was primarily, again, sustainability, but mechanical systems. So you basically take a deeper dive into a specific area. So in architectural engineering, typically about, junior year, they have you pick out a specific discipline and you focus on, that specific discipline. Typically that's construction management, mechanical systems, or lighting systems.
Nice.
Lighting, I should say electrical and lighting systems. Sorry.
why mechanical?
Well, I took, obviously in that program, they give you a pretty solid base. So you've got to take, lighting, you've got to take electrical, you've got to take fluids, thermodynamics, basically all of the fluids and thermodynamic classes and courses that I took, I was extremely interested, also got interested in computational fluid dynamics. In regards to how it impacts building systems specifically.
Brilliant. And then going on to specialize it. I mean, you've worked with some great companies, Arab on there, MTech Mechanical, and now you find yourself Director of Mechanical Services at Hensel Phelps. I mean, with that background on the design side, the subcontractor side, a little bit of operations, what are you doing now at Hensel Phelps, and how has not only your education, but your experience helped you in your current role?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So I think, and we talked about this previously, like with my experience, I kind of got involved with the design and spent most of my time while I was trying to become, a professional engineer and work on my design skills. So I spent a lot of time with Arup, specifically just focusing on design. But like you said, Arup, and a lot of the companies I worked with wanted me to see both sides of the fence. So it's hard to really be a good designer if you haven't spent the time in the field to at least understand exactly how the parts and pieces of the design are being put together. So I was pretty fortunate in the fact that the companies I worked with were able to give me that opportunity to go not only design some of these buildings, but after I was finished with the design, sometimes they'd even let me go out and, run some of the projects. So that was a good experience. And then, on the GC side of it, I kind of stumbled into working with Hensel Phelps. Again, I was working on McGregor Square and was working on a couple of projects that I was working primarily on some of the larger projects I've ever had in my career. And it turns out my predecessor, Greg Holroyd, was retiring. He was here over 17 plus years. And I mentioned that I was, kind of looking for potential change. And they said, well, if he's retiring, why don't you talk to him? And why don't you understand the job better? So that's kind of and we got along, and he's been a real mentor. So, like I said, just kind of fortunate, just ended up, again, most of my time was spent on the design side, but once I get a little bit of the operations, I got a taste of operations. What I realized is I really like design build. And design build projects, I think, if done properly, that's probably one of the best procurement methods. And I think that if you look, you know, holistically at the entire market and how we can, again, bring owners quality projects on time, on schedule, on budget, design build is probably one of the best approaches, as long as, you know, again, you get the owner educated and on board early with that, you know, type of procurement.
Brilliant. Absolutely. And it's becoming more and more popular, Alex. You see it all the time. I mean, I think it's over 50% of the projects now are going to be coming in, especially the large complex projects are going to be coming in design build. And it's great that the owners are pushing for that as well, because it not only it's better for them, it's better for the subcontractors, it's better for the general contractors, that everyone can get in earlier and do that work as early as possible. Talk to me then about the large projects. You mentioned sustainability there. What kind of demands are you seeing from owners and developers now on the sustainability side? How much focus are they putting on it, and what are they specifically looking for?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. In regards to, there's obviously been a push to electrify the United States in general. And I think buildings are now getting a lot more focus. You know, a lot of the focus has been on, you know, EV vehicles and on the transportation side. But, you know, again, roughly, and again, depending on which numbers you're looking at, but, you know, our existing buildings and new buildings consist roughly of, you know, 30-40% of, you know, our carbon footprint. So I think that they're finally getting the focus and the energy that was needed a long time ago. But on the owner side, I'd say the one thing that we're really looking at, and I've done a number of studies, you know, retrofitting these existing buildings to electrify them, it can be very challenging and difficult, in the sense that if you've got, like, let's say a baseboard water heating system, you know, how do you change? You have a couple of options there. You can obviously change out the boiler to becoming electric, but again, a lot of the electrical infrastructure to support that boiler is not normally in the existing building. So it's a challenge. But I think over the next 20 years, you'll see us spend a lot of money and resources to kind of change these buildings from, you know, what they are today. And then on the new building side, owners are always interested in kind of comparing the various systems. And I think they want to know the life cycle cost of the system. So they want us, and specifically they want to know, not only just from a trade partner perspective, you know, how much they think it's going to cost, but, you know, how does that impact the entire building? So not just the mechanical systems and just comparing the mechanical costs, but how's that also going to impact, you know, my building envelope, my electrical infrastructure? I'd say, you know, again, it's impacting multiple trades. So it's a little more complicated than what's the cost of, you know, system A and system B. It's more, okay, how is this going to impact the entire building over the lifespan of its building? And then also looking at, again, maintenance, reliability, you know, all these various factors. And again, what's the system life? But those are a couple of the things that we talk to owners about, and we try to just give them the first thing is really figuring out, what does the owner want? You know, that's the first, and I think that's the first conversation, is understanding what the owner's project requirements are. And if you don't understand what their end goal is at the beginning of the project, some of the, you know, again, we're trying to meet the owner's goals and their expectations. So if you don't have that kind of documented, or I'd say, you know, if you haven't discussed it in great detail when you're in program design and conceptual design, it's really hard to achieve those results. If you know, again, you want to find where point A is, and where's point B, and then what are the various steps that we have to take to get to those results.
Yeah. Is that the most enjoyable part of the job, Alex? I mean, obviously being a mechanical expert, director of mechanical services, is that the most enjoyable part, is dealing with the client and coming to solutions, or do you enjoy dealing with the trades and seeing it all come together, or is it the numbers or the technology that you enjoy?
You know, I think, God, that's a loaded question. obviously there's various parts of the project. I personally really get excited at the beginning of the project. And again, with our position, you know, and the way Hensel Phelps likes to approach it, the earlier that they can engage me on some of these larger projects, the larger the impact I can have. You know, when it's a, you know, design, bid, build project, and the design's already kind of fully baked, and, you know, they ask me, you know, what changes can be made. Typically, again, not, you know, I use a lot of different analogies here, but typically we're too far into the project to where I can make a significant impact. So I think, again, getting on early, getting engaged early with the client and with our operations managers, project managers, and then working with the owner, and then again getting our trade partner on early, because then that not only am I giving them my feedback, but we've got an actual trade partner looking at it, giving us, you know, real feedback, like this is what it actually costs to build, where some of my opinions, again, I can get us in the ballpark, or as I say, in the bucket, plus or minus 20% of what, you know, the total cost, the mechanical system costs. But until you've actually engaged a trade partner and got them fully on board, or up to speed on the project, it's really, I'd say, again, it's plus or minus 20%. So it's just getting it. Again, just dialing it in, that process. I really like dialing in the process. And then, you know, as we're giving real-time cost feedback to the owner and making sure that fits the owner's budget and, you know, the specifications of the project, sometimes it changes, the owner will change decisions. You know, they'll say, oh, well, if that's the true cost of the project, what if we look at this option, you know? And that just depends on the product type that we're either supporting or whatever the owner is actually designing. And it just depends on the building and the building requirements. But that, in general, I don't think I answered the question fully, because it's just so much, you know, like I said, it's a packed, loaded question. But that's where I like to get engaged. Yeah. Again, especially early in that pre-construction phase of the project. And then also just on the innovation side, you know, we touched on that. You know, looking at it, I guess once we actually have a good understanding of what conceptually they want to do, you know, thinking outside the box, is there a different way to approach that? You know, one thing mechanically that's become a really, I'd say, innovative practice that's again, it's been done for years, but you're seeing more and more of it, is you're seeing these multi-trade racks. So we are fabricating, building piping racks that are multi-trade, meaning you've got electrical, you've got fire protection, fire sprinkler piping, all of, and bulk gas chemicals. All of that's being put on a single, kind of like a single rack that's created in, you know, prefabricated in a warehouse, where they're flying these multi-trade racks in with the structure. So all of a sudden, instead of having to stick build all of this, you're in a controlled environment. You've got, and again, you've got higher, the product comes out better, because you're welding and you're creating these racks in a much more controlled environment. So you end up just with a better product. Yeah. And it goes faster. You know, yeah, you can meet the schedule, because these projects, some of these hyperscale projects are so large, that if you weren't to approach it that way, it's just, it's hard to meet the schedule.
Yeah. And are you seeing more and more of these prefabricated modular elements coming into the buildings?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the trade partners are pushing it, and we're pushing it at Hensel Phelps. But I think just in general, that level of coordination, though, again, it's not like you can think about what am I going to put on this rack after the fact. It all has to be coordinated between the multidisciplinary trades before it leaves the warehouse, before it leaves the fab shop. It all has to be pretty much pre-planned. And that's also structural. You know, it has a structural impact too, because structurally we want to have the structure. We need to have that kind of dialed in too, because you can't put a, you know, 36 inch, you know, chilled water pipe that's full of water and add that to the load of the structure and think that it's not going to have an impact on the loads.
Yeah. And that's what gets me excited about the different trades, mechanical, piping, electrical, fire, is the prefabricated side of it. I mean, you have to, if you're going to do prefab and modular, you're going to have to get these trades on even earlier and engage with the modular sub, because you got to know what's coming, what the loads are, where they're at. And that to me, I can see a huge amount of value, but it just means that the owners are going to, and developers are going to have to get the GCs on way, way more, basically at the very beginning before it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, yeah, I just can't press that enough, that the earlier that we can get engaged with a project on the GC side, you know, the more value we can bring. Because like I said, if you typically go down that design bid build approach, we can get a set of documents that are, again, almost fully baked, and then say, well, why didn't we get a chance to look at these? We could have come up with some innovative ways to approach the design. And just again, it's one thing to design it, it's another thing, somebody's got to go build it. So at the end of the day, that's
to the guys that are going to be built, guys and gals are going to be building it as well. Yeah. And that's where your background's really, really interesting. You've been on the design side, you've saw it being built on site. And that's why you would add with great value. And then obviously on the electrical side, you've got a peer in there at Hensel Phelps. You work together. I mean, it's a great added resource.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, my position, I'm a corporate resource. So, there's no shortage of work, put it that way. You know, Hensel Phelps, we got a lot of work. So, but yeah, they've always got, you know, like I said, I can't touch every project, but if, you know, I want to be involved with any of the more technical projects, and that's kind of where, as a design team, we're kind of focused as a corporate resource.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the people listening know that the projects are getting bigger and they're getting more complex and they're getting more costly as the years go on. So, I mean, great that you're able to do that. Well, listen, Alex, I mean, people have heard from you now. It's going to be great seeing you in Advance and Pre-Construction. I can't wait to you run through the tracks, look at the speakers. I mean, I'm excited about it. My first Advance and Pre-Construction was last year, and I got a real buzz from it. So I'm delighted that you're going to be there. And if anybody's there and they want to catch up with Alex, or they've heard him talking about something that they want to kind of ask more questions about, I'm sure he'll make himself available. So congratulations again on winning the ticket, and we look forward to catching up with you in Denver.
Okay. Hey, thanks again for having me on this little podcast.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that from Alex Arnold. It's great to know that the free ticket's going to a good home. And listen, if you are going to Advance and Pre-Construction and you haven't booked your ticket yet, please use podcast10 as a discount code. That's simply podcast, the number 10, and you will receive 10% discount. Now, another announcement that I want to make about Advance and Pre-Construction, Niche SSP are co-hosting a happy hour. The location of the happy hour is Henry's Tavern. It's happening on a Thursday night from 6:30 to 9:30, and I am co-hosting it along with Concentric, Project Mark, and Toggle AI. Hope to see you there.